Great. Well, praise the Lord. I'm excited this morning as we're looking into the Word of God. And the title of my message this morning is called Copycat. Copycat. And I want to talk about being a copycat. How many want to learn how to be a copycat? All right. And so you're saying, I don't know what that means. So we'll look at that together this morning. So, amen. I want to say to Pastor Jacques and Sharon today, they're in Colburn this morning preaching and ministering there again. I've been in prayer about casting vision. Pastor Jacques said, should you cast vision for 2016? And he's still officially the senior pastor until April 1st or April 3rd. So I thought, I'm going to hold off on that. And when that time comes, I'll begin to cast the vision that God's put in our hearts. And so things are good. And Pastor Jacques will be here. He'll be here in a few weeks ministering again. So just wanted to let you know that. So let's move on. I want to start this morning in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. We'll start in verse 25, and we'll just read through some of this together and set a foundation. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you're saying to the church. We want to be changed. We want to be transformed by your word and by your spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. If we can bring up the back projector for me, that'd be awesome. It says in verse 25, so stop lying. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all part of the same body, and don't sin by letting anger control you. All right? Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. This is a warning that if you struggle with anger, get it under control and make sure you make things right with people, because the devil will have a foothold in your life, okay? It says in verse 28, if you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Verse 29, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you do, you say, be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And then verse 30 says, and don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. And so basically what Paul is saying here is stop the lies, okay, number one. Number two, don't let anger control your life. Number three, stop stealing. Number four, don't use filthy language. Number five, don't grieve the Holy Spirit with bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. So these are all the things we're not supposed to do. But I like what the next verse says. Verse 32 says, instead, all right, and this is the big word, instead, this is how you need to behave. Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So God is saying you need to be kind, you need to be tenderhearted, and you need to be forgiving one another. Amen? So God wants us to have his character. Verse Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, the next verse, it says here, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. That's why I said we need to be copycats. Amen. God wants us to copy him. God wants us to be like him. Why? Because his spirit lives in us, and if we give heed to the voice of the Lord, we'll begin to act as God acts, okay? So this scripture, what is God like? If we're supposed to imitate God, if we're supposed to copy God, what is God like? I want to go to this scripture here in Luke chapter 6, verse 27. It says this, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. I mean, that's hard to do, isn't it? You cannot love your enemies unless God, by the Spirit, pours out his love in your hearts for those enemies. Is that not true? Let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 35 to 36. But love your enemies, do good to those, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. Right? For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. See, this is when you get a revelation of this, that God actually is merciful and kind and patient, even with those who are his enemies, who curse him, that are out on a Saturday night or a Friday night cursing the name of God. They just, I don't believe in God, doesn't exist. I think Christians are idiots, and this, and it's all, they just, I don't believe in God. And the Bible says that God loves those people and that he's causing his rain to come down. He's causing his mercy to come. He's waiting patiently for them to come to repentance. Amen? Why is that? Because God understands that the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the eyes of those who do not believe. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, moving back there, it says, "And walk in love, as Christ also has loved and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Amen? And so we're to walk in love. We're to show forth the love and the compassion of God to a dying and hurting generation. And I think as we move into 2016, we have to say, listen, I want to be an imitator of God. I want to copy his behavior. I want to be like God. And if God is showing mercy and grace to the unfortunate, if God is showing care and mercy to those who hate him, how much more should we show forth the love of God? Amen? And so this morning, as we're looking at this, I want to look at Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1, how many know the story of Jonah? Do you know the story of Jonah? Jonah, Jonah, Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 says here, or Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. It's actually verse 1, son. We'll go to verse 1 first. "The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgments against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are." Okay? And verse 3 says, "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare and went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And so I brought this umbrella here because this is kind of significant here. I need someone to help me here. Jonah, come help me, brother. All right. So open up the umbrella. Okay. There we go. All right. So Jonah here is not going to be Jonah. I'm going to be Jonah. He's God. All right. And so just pretend, okay? You only get to be God for a few minutes, and then you're sitting down. So this is God. And this umbrella represents his protection. Under this umbrella is the presence of the Lord. We're walking under the shadow of the Most High. We're in relationship with God. But the Bible says, God said, "Jonah, I want you to go with me. We're going to Nineveh." And the Bible says that Jonah, he fled from the presence of the Lord, and he went in his own direction. God is still there, and his presence is there. But Jonah, when he disobeyed the voice of God, he actually went from the presence of God. Two times in one verse it says he left the presence of the Lord. He left the presence of the Lord. And I want to say this, when God speaks to you and you have a direction in life, you're under the protection of the Lord. He will go with you. But if you choose to say, "I'm not going to obey," and you go out on your own, guess what? You're leaving the presence of the Lord. Amen? See, God is still there. God is still loving. God is still merciful. But God had a directive for Jonah. Listen, Jonah, I have business to do in Nineveh. And Jonah says, I don't want to go to Nineveh, Lord. So he went to Joppa instead, the opposite direction. He got on a boat, and then he started heading for Tarshish. Thank you. You can be seated. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Jonah. Let's give him a hand. Awesome. So he runs from the presence of the Lord when he moved out of obedience to the Lord. All right? Jonah runs from God's plan. And this is the question this morning. Do you run from God's plan in your life? You see Joppa here. Joppa is where he got on the boat. He was supposed to go 550 miles to Nineveh with the Lord, under the presence of the Lord. And he decides, I'm going to get as far away from the will of God as possible. I'm going to go 2,500 miles to Tarshish. He said, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. So he heads in the opposite direction. And we're going to talk about why in a few minutes. When we go our own way, we leave his presence. We leave the umbrella. All right? We leave the presence of the Lord, and we end up in a place where we're wandering, not knowing where we're going. Isn't that true? In fact, the first time we see mention of this is in Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. Let's see what it says. Genesis chapter 4, verse 16, it says, Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Nod is actually, the translation of the word Nod is wandering. When Cain left the presence of God, because we saw in that video, he didn't want to do things God's way. He just wanted to kind of do what he wanted to do with his offering. And God didn't reject him at that point, but God's presence was distant from him. He was jealous, and he killed his brother. So he had to go out from the presence of the Lord, and he ended up in a place where he was wandering, not knowing where he's going. I know too many Christians who have no idea where they're going. It's like they're wandering through life saying, I just don't know what God wants me to do. And I'm going to say that there was probably a place where God spoke to you and said, you need to go in this direction, and you might have chosen to go out from the presence of the Lord. And God is calling you back. Amen. I believe that even this morning that God is beginning to call some of you back to that place of being under his presence. In fact, many of us begin to sacrifice instead of obeying God. We throw everything overboard to save us. And that's what happened when the ship went out. Well, we'll get into that. And the storm started to happen. Everybody threw everything overboard. Many times as Christians, when God speaks, we begin to go in our own direction. Why? Because his voice will cost us too much. His direction will maybe cause us to have to face the fear of man. His voice, his direction might cause us to maybe take a step and to grow. Or maybe God's calling you to do something with the gospel, and he wants you to go to Bible school. Maybe God wants you to advance in your career, but it's just too much for me, so I'll go from the presence of the Lord. And then what Christians do is they begin to throw things out sacrificially. Well, I just won't do this, and I'll pray more. And I won't spend time. And you begin to become legalistic. You throw things out of your boat. You throw things out of your life instead of just being obedient. Amen? Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 says, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. Amen? God is after obedience. So let's look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. We'll go back to the story. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. God's storms are his mercy. Why? Because God knows the best place for you to be is in his perfect will. And if you are a believer and you love God and you leave his presence and you're not obedient, God will bring some storms into your life. He'll shake you up, man, and you'll be like, why is everything falling apart? This is the mercy of God trying to say, hey, listen, I love you too much to let you be stupid. I'm going to send storms in your life. I'm going to let havoc happen because I want you to be back in the place that I called you. Why? Because it's not about you, Jonah. It's about my plan and my purpose. Isn't that good? Interesting thing, if you read in verse 5 of Jonah, it says that there's this great storm that's happening, and all the people on the ship are freaking out, but Jonah is sleeping in the bottom of the boat. Jonah is so secure in the love of God that he's not even worried. He's out there sleeping in the bottom of the boat. He's not worried. Maybe you're out of the will of God, and you're kind of asleep. You're just kind of like doing your own thing. I'm going to tell you, it'll affect other people that are on your boat. Might be other people that are in your life. It might be your family members. It might be your peers. It might be the people you work with. But their life will be affected if you're asleep on the boat. If God has a plan and you're not listening, their lives are going to wreak havoc. They're going to say, there's something wrong here, and I don't know what it is. The Bible said that these men began to say, someone's God is ticked off. Whose God is it? Well, he's sleeping in the bottom of the boat. They're all trying to, they're throwing everything over and they're saying, we're going to die. So finally they come down and Jonah admits, it's my fault. God's upset with me. Amen? So let's look at what it says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. Start in verse 10. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea might be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempest. You see that? And then it says here, verse 12, and he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know this great tempest is because of me. Do you know what? It's beautiful because that's the type of Christ. He said, sacrifice me and the storms of life will cease. And Jesus said, sacrifice. He went to the cross and he died so the storms of our life and the sin and the destruction can be calm waters. Is that good? That's good. And so look what it says here. They threw him overboard. And God sends a big belly of a whale. A big belly of a whale. He sends a big whale. Now we can argue whether it was a fish or a whale. I think it was a whale. And the whale came and swallowed him. And you know, as Christians, the way we are as humans, we think, oh yeah, God's getting him back. The judgment of God has come. No, it wasn't the judgment of God. Go back to that picture for a second, Josiah, if you can bring that back up. So I would take it that the storm happened. They were probably about here. And God is saying, it's not about you, Jonah, but I have a plan to reach Nineveh. So I'm going to send a submarine along here that's going to pick you up and bring you back to the place you're supposed to be. And so when we read it, we think, hey, well, God was getting... No, God was actually saying, you know what, we're going to do a transfer stop here. You're going to transfer flights, and you're going to Nineveh, boy, because I have a plan and a purpose. And it's a first submarine. He got on that thing, and he headed to Nineveh. Amen? So that's the way I see it anyway. That's took him off course. Matthew chapter 16, verse 4. We'll go there. A wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign, and no sign shall be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. I believe that this was a true story. I don't think it was a metaphor or a fairy tale. Some scholars say, oh yeah, you know, how could he live for 3 days in the belly of the whale? Well, I personally believe that he didn't, because if you read his prayer, he was swallowed. He died in the belly of the whale, and he was resurrected and cast onto the land. That's why it was a sign of Christ, the same sign that happened for Christ. He was in the ground dead for 3 days and rose again. I believe that Jonah was dead, because there's no oxygen in the belly of a whale. And he was resurrected and cast out onto the sea. And when you die to your own purposes, and you say, God, I surrender, and you are crucified with Christ, you're raised to newness of life, and you can be obedient to God. Amen? Matthew 12, verse 40 actually says, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. If you read the story of Jonah, when he was praying, he actually says, I am in the belly of a whale. And then in his prayer, he begins to say, I am behind the bars under the mountains. And he begins to talk about a place. So I believe that's not important whether he was dead or alive. The point is he got transported from one point to the next. He was brought back into the place where he was supposed to be in the purpose of God. Amen? The Bible says he repented in the belly and he was spit up on the shore. You know, this time, Jonah says, yes, sir. God says, you got to go to Nineveh now because I have a plan. Jonah says, okay, God, I will go and do what you told me to do. All right? Now, what happens as he goes through the streets, he begins to say, you need to repent. You have 40 days to repent or God is going to bring judgment on the city. And he begins to cry out. What happens shocks Jonah because they repent. The king says, hey, let's repent. Let's get in sackcloth. Let's get in ashes. Let's begin to repent because we don't want this to happen. So they repent. And I want to show you something here in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. It says, then God saw their works. They turned from their evil ways, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Remember what we talked about? God is merciful to sinners. The next verse, actually Jonah chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. Let's see how Jonah responds to this. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God. Right? He knew. He says, you're a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. He knew the heart of the Father. And he was upset about it. You know, because Jonah knew that God was that way, he would not go to Nineveh. And I find this very interesting, don't you? It says here, he said, I know you, God. I knew that you were kind and you repent from evil if you get a chance. And I believe, here it is. Jonah wanted them to be judged. Why? This was the great enemy of his people. Perhaps Jonah had actually seen these cruel, ruthless, bloody Ninevites periodically coming down into his land and raiding his people. Perhaps he even suffered the loss of a loved one at the hands of these merciful people. In the ancient world, Ninevites were actually considered the bloodiest and most vicious of kind of people. They were cruel. The Ninevites were not nice people to be around. And Jonah, I think, personally, and I'll ask him when I get there, had a personal beef with the Ninevites. And he wasn't willing to forgive. And he says, God, I knew that you'd want to forgive them. I can't do it. Amen? And this is what I find very interesting. All right? Because he couldn't forgive them. Jonah basically said, God, you're loving, but I'm going to hold a grudge against these people. I can't forgive them. You know, Jonah chapter 4, verse 3 says, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. I mean, why would you say that unless you had a personal grudge against those people? Just kill me, God. If I don't get my revenge, I want to die. I can't find it in my heart to forgive these people, so just kill me and take me home. Now, remind you, this is not just Joe Blow. This is a prophet of the Lord who's got heart issues. How many see that? All right? And have you ever felt like you'd rather die than forgive someone? Have you ever felt like I want justice? You know, some of you might have heard this story before, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Back in probably 1990, you know, I was hanging out with, you know, the wrong people, and I went down to the mall late at night, and I had my snakeskin cowboy boots on and my leather jacket. And I was with my friends. I had two friends with me, and we went down to the mall late at night. The mall was closed, and there was a gang there. And the leader of the gang saw my snakeskin cowboy boots, and he wanted to take them. He said, give me your snakeskin cowboy boots. And I said, they're not for sale. He said, I don't want to buy them. And I said, well, you got to take them off me. So we got into this fight. And all of a sudden, I'm fighting the guy. I knocked him in the head. I gave him a good shot. And then he backed down. I said, okay, that's enough, man. And then all of a sudden, his whole group jumped me. And I'm looking around going, where are my two friends? Like, they're gone. It's like, where are my friends? And then I heard one of them hiding behind a bush say, the cops are coming. And then all of a sudden, all the gang ran away, and I had been knifed in the ear, and I was bleeding, and so I went home. Now, for about 3 or 4 years, I was just like, you ever see the Rocky movie? Dun, dun, dun. And I was like working out and punching the bag and joined Kung Fu, and I was like, I'm going to get this guy back. I'm going to take out the whole gang. I'm going to get the gang leader. And this was my mission in life, is to find this guy and beat him up. And this is my goal. This is my thing. I was so angry with this guy because he humiliated me. And what happened was I got saved around 1994 in that period of time. And I was dealing with things in my heart. And the Lord brought that up. Do you forgive him? Yes, Lord, I do. I put that at the cross. I forgive the guy. Now, take in mind, I hadn't seen him for 4 years. I've been looking everywhere for the guy. Could not find him. So I said a little prayer to the Lord, and I said, God, I forgive him because you forgave me, so I'm nice, and I'm going to forgive him and leave it at the cross. So the next day, I go into the mall, and who do I see working at a chocolate hot dog stand with a little chef hat, a girly apron? Is the guy, and I saw him, and all of a sudden, it was like, yes, I get to take him out. I'm going to wait for him after work. And the Lord begins to say, no, 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 no. You've forgiven. You've shown mercy. So I said, okay, Lord. He says, I want you to do something. The Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to go tell him that you forgive him. Show him mercy. Buy a chocolate hot dog to make him happy. No, he didn't say that. But they're actually pretty good. There were chocolate hot dogs in a bun with marshmallows. Really good. So anyway, so I say, yes, Lord. So I'm walking to talk to the guy. He makes eye contact with me. And all of a sudden, I'm like, no. And I turn around, and I run to Tarshish. I get in my car, and I live an hour away. I drive an hour home, and I'm sitting there just tormented. My whole world is being shaken because God says, you need to do this thing. Fine, Lord, I'll do it. I get back in my car. I drive back to Joppa, going to Nineveh. I'm going to see this guy, walk into the store. Great, he's not working today. Must be the Lord's will. So I go home. An hour back to my home. And this goes on for weeks. And I'm just being stubborn and stupid and wasting a lot of gas money. So finally I got in. The Bible says, come and let us reason together. So I said, Lord, I'll go and tell him I'm sorry. I'll give him a letter with the gospel message. And because I just want to talk to him too much. And the Lord, I felt at peace with that. So I went. I walked up to him and I said, do you remember me? And he looks at me and he goes, nope, never seen you before in my life. And I said, yeah, your name is. And I said his name. And I said, I want you to know that I forgive you for what you did. Right? And rumor had gone out that I was looking for this guy and my friend. So, and he just looked at me and goes, for what? And, you know, he was playing stupid, right? And I said, I forgive you and I want to give you this. And I gave him a track with a gospel message. That I've given my life to the Lord now. I want to tell you about his goodness. And I gave him the track and I walked away. I'm going to tell you, that obedience, it was like lifted something out of my soul. Amen? And I was healed at a level that I can't even explain because obedience is better than sacrifice. If God speaks to you, don't go and just say, okay, well, God's speaking to me, I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to go pray for his presence. Well, you can't pray for his presence because you left his presence. So how does that work? And that's what the cycle that most of us Christians get into. Is this good preaching or what? I'm speaking to somebody, I'm sure. So God wants us to come to a place in our life where we choose to release mercy instead of judgment. You know, Jonah was upset with God and he went and sat on the hill to watch, thinking maybe God will change his mind and bring judgment. He sat there and he was depressed. And God said to him, should I not show mercy to this people who don't know their right hand from their left? They don't know any better. Can I not show the mercy of God? Can I not show them love? And so Jonah had some issues. And I want to say this is that, you know, we have the Spirit of God in our heart, the love of God that's shed upon our hearts so that we might be able to forgive and walk in freedom. Luke chapter 6, verse 37, as we close, it says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. That word judge is krino, which actually means to decide, to try to condemn, punish, and avenge, and damn somebody. That's what it means. So the difference between righteous judgment by saying the word of God gives us a moral outline that we should follow. That's different. That's not judging. But it's when you point the finger and say, your heart is evil, you're wrong, and I want to see you come down. And the Bible says, do not judge anyone, or you yourself will be judged. You will receive that. God wants us to show forth his unconditional love and mercy, even when we don't feel like it. Amen? Amen. So I want to say this morning, as we close, why don't we stand for a moment? I'll have Michelle, if you can come to the piano. It'd be awesome. You can play that Presence of God song. That'd be awesome. In this story, as we read, it's amazing how God's mercy shows up. at every stage. Go home and study Jonah. I don't realize there was so much in the book of Jonah, but you know what? It's because we learned it in Sunday school and we've kind of put it aside, but there's a lot of truth there. That if we, even when we run from the presence of God, God actually comes after us. Amen? Because he loves us. You're not going to end up in a whale because he wants to judge you. It's because he's going to take you back. He's going to find a vehicle to take you back to the place that God has called you to. Amen? Josiah brought up a picture there of a fish. And I find God so humorous. The Ninevites worship Dagon, Philistine god, which was a fish god, and they dressed something like that. It's where the mermaid philosophy thing came from. But you see, this guy would wear a fish. Now, could you imagine all of a sudden on the beaches of Nineveh, this big whale comes out and spits out a man who's got seaweed wrapped around his head, and he's like all white from digestive juice, gets up and says, "Repent! God's coming to judge." I mean, these people are like, "The fish god, Dagon." You know, they're freaking out. And I just find it so cool that God is able to take a bad situation and turn it around so that he can have his purpose accomplished. Amen? And I believe that there's some of us in this place who say today, "Hey, listen, I think I've missed it. And I've missed the voice of God." And I also want to put this in here. Don't be worried whether or not you're hearing the voice of God and saying, "I don't know if I've missed it." Because you'll know when you've missed the voice of God. You just know that you know. Because you end up like me, sitting at home going, "Oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this." And I want to say this, is that if you'll jump into the water today and say, "God, I sacrifice. I don't want anybody else hurt. I don't want this boat to shake anymore. I'm going to jump out." God will send a vehicle to take you to your destiny. Amen? Because of his mercy and his love. Amen? So, Father, I just come this morning. I thank you that as we move into 2016, God, that for those of us who are just, we don't have it all together. We don't always do things right, God. If we've missed it and we've walked away from your presence, God, I think we make a decision today to jump into the waters and allow you to come and bring the transportation, that you're going to bring us back to the place of destiny. You're going to bring us back to the place that you've called us to be in, Lord, so we will accomplish your will. And I felt this morning, even as I was going over this message, the Lord is saying there's some here in this place. You say, "I've struggled with being able to forgive, to be able to show mercy." There might be somebody in your family. There might be somebody at your workplace. There might be someone in some area of your life that you're just struggling with. And it's almost like you would never say it, but you're kind of like, "I hope things don't go good for them." And I want to say this morning, if that's you, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that the love of God would be shed abroad upon their hearts right now. God, come and bring what only you can bring by your Spirit, a touch of the Holy Ghost, and the love of God for these people, Father, in Jesus' name. And it starts by just making a decision. Amen? Coming to the altar and saying, "Lord, I'm like Jonah. I really have a hard time with this, but I release it. I forgive them. I choose to forgive them today." Amen? Some of you, God has spoken to you about, God has spoken about going in a certain direction and you haven't done it for whatever reason. Some of you, God has spoken about coming up to a higher moral ground to live differently than the world. You haven't yet done it, but God is sending a vehicle today. Amen? And so what I'd like to do is I'm going to open the altars for those who want to come forth as a sign to the Lord that today is a year that I'm going to trust you, that you're bringing me back into the presence. I'm jumping into the water today. If that's you and you just want to make a commitment to the Lord, come forward, and we're going to sing this song together as we close off the service. Amen. Let's do that.